Charles Simpson, Reel One. Commander Simpson, I want to ask you a bit about your background and where and when you were born.
Yes. I was born in Portsmouth, which is a big naval town, on the 14th of August, 1910. My father was a labourer in the dockyard, and I had an elder brother, a younger sister, and two younger brothers. So I was one of five children. I went to the infant school at the age of five, that's in 1915, and 2 years later I joined the elementary school. The elementary school was divided into seven classes, and the normal way of proceeding through the school was to spend 1 year in each class. So normally, one joined at the age of seven and left at the age of 14. But in those times, one could proceed through a school on merit. And a bright boy could skip a class. Well, this is not boasting, but merely a bit of my history. I skipped class two, I skipped class four, and I skipped class six. So I arrived in the top class at the age of 10. There was a special class called Standard X7, and the purpose of this class was to groom boys for entry into the secondary school. I took a public examination, equivalent to the 11 plus, to go into the secondary school, and I was successful in passing it. So I joined the secondary school at the age of 10. The secondary school was what might call a second-class grammar school. Grammar in that it taught both Latin and French, chemistry, physics, English and history, and charged a fee, but that was much smaller than that customary in the grammar school. My parents were fortunate enough to get me a scholarship to the school. So having joined, I had no fee to pay. Now the procedure for those boys who were paying a fee was on the very first day of each term to march up to the teacher's desk and present that term's fee, which was 2 pence, 2 shillings a term, normally referred to as 2 guineas. I sat at the back of the class, half happy not to have to pay, and half sad to think that I was not required to pay.
Was there any discrimination against scholarship boys?
It was a matter of applying to the local authority, and I presume my parents had to give their financial situation, number of children in school, and it was the local authority that decided on whether I actually would benefit from a scholarship.
Were scholarship boys looked down on by the other boys?
Not in the least. Apart from this procedure of paying money at the beginning of the term, I imagine most boys then forgot it. it's quite even possible that in a class of 30 boys all in line, it's quite possible they never noticed that I wasn't paying. Anyway, I was not felt made to feel in the least bit different.
Can you tell me a bit about your education, the classes that you took?
Well, we followed the normal grammar school curriculum of 13 subjects taught on Saturday mornings as well as the other 5 days of the week. The school was divided into two sides, almost two halves, and these were referred to as the dockyard side and the Latin side. The dockyard side concentrated the education upon those boys who had an ambition to join the services or to go into the dockyard or any such occupations. The Latin side directed the boys towards the professions, law, doctorate, but of course that was going to be achieved only by the boys acquiring a position in the university. When I first went to the school...
Could we actually name the school? I don't think you've actually given the name yet. The name of the school?
The Portsmouth Boys Southern Secondary School. And it was in a large building, some 20 minutes walk from my home. And we were required then to go home to dinner. So I walked 4 times a day, 20 minutes and back from home to school. When I was first sent to the school, one of my parents went to see the headmaster and talked to him about my probable future based upon the fact that my parents would have no money to help me on to a professional occupation. The headmaster advised my parents that as I was particularly young, that I should go on to the Latin side for 1 year. And at the end of the year, discuss with him whether to continue on the Latin side or to go over to the dockyard side. The end of the year, it was the dockyard side for me. And that pleased me immensely because the dockyard side led a great many boys to join the services, the Navy, the Army, and at that time a very new opening for boys to the Royal Air Force. My elder brother went to the Royal Air Force. I went to the Navy.
Before we move on from your school days, could I ask you a bit about your family? What sort of house did you live in, and did your mother work?
No. I lived in a terrace house, 3 bedrooms up and 3 rooms downstairs, a scullery, but no bathroom, and an outside toilet. So to use either the toilet, you had to go out into the garden, and to have a bath, you had to have it in a tin bath in front of the fire in winter, and in the same place during the summer. Bathing was a very tedious business because water, both hot and cold, had to be fetched from the scullery. We'd call that the kitchen now, but it was only a tiny room, 6 feet by 6 feet. And for bathing, then the water had to be carried from the scullery into the kitchen and poured into the bath. And then after the bath, which up until the age of 14, my mother superintended. And of course, when it was my sister's turn, I was banished to the bedroom. The house was small, but adequate for our purpose. My mother and father had a room at the front of the house. My sister had a bedroom by herself, and my three brothers and I shared the back bedroom, which was okay. It worked out extremely well, because there was a 11-year separation between my sister and the eldest of my two youngest brothers, which meant my eldest brother had left home and gone to the Royal Air Force before the eldest of the two young brothers had arrived in the house. Likewise, at the age of 15, I left home to join the Navy. So although the bedroom was a little bit crowded, two in one bed and then one in a cot, we managed extremely well. The lighting was by gas lighting downstairs, but only in my parents' bedroom. My eldest brother and I and the rest of the younger children in their time went to bed carrying a candle. And I read all my books, including the ones I was not supposed to read, by candlelight. After some years, and I think after I joined the Navy, it began to be the custom to introduce electricity into the house. So somewhere about 1925, 1926, my mother had electricity put into the house at the absolute fantastic cost of £12 per point. But I think that probably by that time I had left home, and it was only when I was on leave from the Navy that I enjoyed the luxury of a light in my bedroom.
During your school days, did you have any hobbies or play any sport?
No. My ambitions were such that I had to study extremely hard, both to progress to the secondary school and later on to progress through the secondary school. Both leaving the elementary school and leaving the secondary school required one to pass a national examination in some 5 or 6 subjects. So it is only true that I devoted myself from the age of 8 or 9 entirely to study. Homework in both schools was very intense. Had to be provided the morning after it was set. It was marked usually 8 of 10, and the marks one gained for each part of homework were announced to the class. So it was a matter of great pride to have Simpson, 8 out of 10. Or possibly even 9 out of 10.
As a family, did you go on holidays, or what did you do on a Sunday, for example?
Sunday was my father's only day off work. And when I became old enough, I used to accompany my father on his Sunday morning walks. And he had several walks, of which he was very fond, in different directions in Portsmouth. And I would go off hand in hand, usually, with my father, when we would have heart-to-heart talks about what was happening in school and what was happening in the house and so forth. But otherwise, my father was very much occupied with the little bit of gardening, the almost intense need to maintain the house. So he did all the carpentry and all the decorating that was required. My mother had 3 children to look after until the next 2. And I imagine she was greatly encumbered, not to say harassed, by the fact that there was an 11-year separation between my sister and the next brother. She had 2 babies to look after when the rest of the family were halfway towards being grown up. And I myself had the duty of taking my 2 young brothers out in pushchairs. And I spent many an hour taking my young brothers in their pushchair, 2 at a time, to the seafront at Sousse, which was a half an hour pushchair push and back.
What was Sousse like in those days?
Sousse was very, very much a holiday place, but the sort of holiday place to which families brought their own food and their own drinks and spread a blanket or some other covering on the stones of the seashore, and then had a picnic and possibly even a tea as well, from things I brought from home. I used to take sandwiches, as did my older brother, until he left home. And of course, in due time, there were sandwiches for the 2 younger brothers as well. But it was exclusively self-catering in those days.
Did you go swimming?
Oh, very much indeed. There was a matter of pride how many times you went in for a swim. And one would come home and declare with enormous pride, went in 7 times today. And you would emerge from the sea, having splashed about for 10 minutes, dry off, and then either run along the beach or have a sandwich and get ready for the next. And we called them dips. So one would have 5, 6, 7 separate dips in the sea before going home. And being at the seaside could last from 10 or 11 in the morning till 5 or 6 o'clock at night, depending upon the weather, of course.
Did you ever visit the pier at Southsea?
No, not until I was earning my own money. Money was very scarce. My father earned something like £2, 12 and 6 a week as a labourer. And to raise 5 children, keep them fed and clothed, was just about all they could do. Now, this had a repercussion when I went to the secondary school, because the secondary school ran sports of every kind, but they were entirely voluntary and they were only held at the weekends. There was no sport on the school premises. Now, to engage in a game of football, or to have any hope of representing the school at cricket, one was required to pay a fee. And I was reluctant to tell my parents that in order to play football, they would have to pay 0.5 crown. So, in fact, I never played sport at school.
Were you a member of any Sea Cadet organisation?
Yes. I joined the Wolf Cubs at a very early age, but having joined the secondary school, and finding there was homework every night of the week and at weekends, which occupied most of the evening, if not all of it, with some reluctance I left the Wolf Cubs.
Can you tell me about the neighbourhood that you lived in?
I lived in a terrace house in a curving road of all terraced houses. So the houses nestled side by side with no separation. We had a neighbour's wall on either side of our home, and when my mother ran short of sugar, which she frequently did, she would knock on the wall of the house next door, and the lady living there would emerge into the back garden, and my mother would say, "Can you lend me a cup of sugar?" or whatever the requirement was, and we'd enjoy the next cup of tea. Rations as such, that is to say, food in the house ran out by Thursday evening. And we used to await my father's arrival home on Friday, because that was his payday. And on his way home, he would buy something for tea. So Friday evening's tea was unusual and exceptional in that we had something usually cooked for tea.
Can you remember anything about any childhood illnesses?
Yes. Illnesses among children were very frequent and very public. One always noticed when a boy at school was missing, and an immediate inquiry would be made, "Why is Freddie not here today?" And it was then publicly announced, if the teacher knew it, what his illness was. Now, illnesses like meningitis were very, very common. And it was the practice when a child died, which is not unusual, for the whole class to be walked to the home of the dead boy and you would be led in procession, usually up the stairs, to view the body in the bed. And that happened on several occasions with me. Yes, illness was very common and frequently fatal. So long ago that I forget the names of most. But impetigo, which was a disease of the skin, much the same as eczema, and much to be deplored because it left scars on the face. So yes, we were very illness conscious in those days. And it was a very sad thing when that child departed from the class.
Did you yourself have any...
No, I was the luckiest of lucky boys. I escaped all the childish illnesses, diphtheria, chicken pox. I had none of those. But I was a very exceptional child in that regard.
Did your parents attend any religious organisations or churches?
No. My father, in order to make ends meet, had a job in the dockyard after normal working hours. He cleaned the cars of those officers, usually very senior officers, and did odd jobs about the Admiral of the Dockyard's house, which kept him employed on two or three evenings a week till 9 o'clock. And it was my great pleasure when I could, and when my mother said I might, that I would walk down to the dockyard gate to meet him and walk home with him.
You said that you left school and joined the Navy at 15.
That's right.
Can I ask you a little bit about how that came about? But perhaps I ought to just announce a new reel before we start.
Yes.
Can I just... Charles Simpson, Reel 2. Can you tell me about how you...